fighting and full of nonsense. The Stephen Howson Podcast. Made in Manchester.
Hello everybody, welcome to The Warm Down. Today I'm joined by everyone's favourite uncle. And if you don't know who's your uncle, go and ask your mum. It's our Webby. We're in town, we're having a pint, and we thought we would talk about United. And I think Wayne Rooney's going to dominate the topic, innit? So we're recording this on Wednesday when the news sort of dropped last night about Rooney being a done thing to Everton. So this goes out on Monday, so this talk that it's going to all be done by the time this comes out, isn't there? So should we assume it's done for everyone?
I think it's done already, Steve, to be honest. You know, like we were just chatting there before we started, it's, I don't know, it's an hard situation because he's not played a lot last year. Don't think we've missed him, but...
A lot of assists last year, though.
A lot of assists, but... Will we miss him as a player? You know, I don't know, Stephen. It's an hard one. For me, he's had his best years, but he's got to still be an asset for the club.
What, to be kept around?
In some... We've got to see who we bring in, because for me, I think that we've obviously... Ibrahimovic going, unfortunately, injured. Is it fair... We've got to have two at least coming in now.
It's got to be. Well, you needed to replace Ibra.
Yeah, and you know,
and if Rooney goes,
you can't rely on Marshall and Rashford.
As much as I do think both got good futures, no, you can't. I think when Mourinho came last summer, he looked at that squad. The signings he brought in were banging, and he looked at that squad, and I think he went, "I've got three strikers there. This Rashford kid, he can come off the bench. Yeah. I've got that Marshall. Yeah. I've got Wayne Rooney," because obviously he wanted Rooney a couple
of
times.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And he goes, "I'll bring in Ibra. Job's a good one." Yeah. Now, when he got here, Wayne Rooney wasn't what he thought he was, I reckon.
Yeah, correct.
So I think that's possibly one of the reasons that we did as badly as we did last year, because I think he expected Rooney to have maybe 150% more than he actually gave him.
Yeah.
So if he goes, I still think he needed to replace him anyway.
Yeah.
So I definitely think we'd be in the market for two.
It's who though, isn't it? It's like, I'm not panicking. You see a lot of people on social media panicking, and it does get to you, and you've got to hang on a minute. Surely, Mourinho wouldn't let Ed Woodward go and sit and watch the All Blacks versus the Lions if things haven't been done. Because if things don't get done, Steve, that's going to be thrown back in his face.
That's his job, man. Like, so surely,
can I personally brick him up in that shit house in J-Stand if he balls up this year, mate, I tell you.
Surely, like, Woodward's job is now. Like, the part of his job is
Steve,
now.
Steve, I mentioned this. This is the most important transfer window in our club's history, this one. Mourinho's had his year. He's had a couple of windows to look, and obviously he's been left with stuff he doesn't want, which is hard when on big contract. And this was his. We got what we wanted back in the Champions League, where United have got to be. Now, if he balls up on this, mate, I tell you, it'll be absolute murders. I spoke to my inside man at Old Trafford, and I said, the Wolves are knocking at the door, and the reply was, tell the Wolves everything will be fine with a smiley face. Now, he's a bigger fan.
That's the fans that are flapping.
But he's a bigger flapper than me. For him to text me that, I know that there's something big happening. So I trust him. He's always come up with the goods before.
Oh, look how we pulled Pogba out last year, because I remember standing outside Old Trafford doing a full-time review for Devils, saying, this is like 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10. It's probably not going to happen. We always get linked with these names and it never happens. And we pulled that out of the bag with Europa League football, let alone with Champions League football.
No disrespect, we're both big red, Steve. But 99% of players want to play for Man United, the other 1% are liars. Do you know what I mean?
Was it Gordon Hill that said that?
Gordon Hill said that, yeah. And it's right, mate. We're the biggest club in the world now. And we've got everyone going about this debt, but we're going to just smash it. Money wise, we're rich, we can afford it. Just that debt, what's hanging over us. But I really think that he's got these people. Mourinho's not going to have gone away and gone swanning around on a well deserved rally. Because if someone said to me, you start the season, a Charity Shield and two pots, they're not the biggest pots, but we would have took them, wouldn't we?
I think the qualification for the Champions League
that was
is the
main
one.
That was a one. That was a one, Steve, for me. We had to be back in that because I was sick of playing Thursday, Sunday. It was messing. I'm going straight from work, straight onto the door, I was done in. You know what I mean? And I always remember what someone said. I don't really like the clowns off TalkSport, but it was correct what he said that Adrian Dunham. He said, nobody will win this Premiership who are playing in Europa League. It will not happen. And he was spot on.
I can't find it, but about 4 years ago, I think, maybe when Spurs was in it, I saw a study that shown there was a correlation between the distance you went in the Europa League and your form dropping off in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense on the face of things, because you're like, well, hang on, if you go far in the Champions League, you're still playing two games a week. What's the difference? And I don't think anyone can fully explain the difference except to say that there is a correlation between, you know, your drop off in the league versus, because maybe it's because if you are in the Europa League, you're not the top dog in the world anyway.
Of course, yeah.
So that puts a lot more pressure on your squad. But if you are going far in the Champions League, you can cope because you're good enough to go far in the Champions League. Maybe there's something to do with
that. I also think that people going all right, but the extra day sometimes is a big help. If you're playing Tuesday, Sunday, or you're playing Tuesday, Saturday, and we're playing...
Yeah, it's sometimes Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday, innit?
Yeah, so Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we could be playing Saturday or Sunday, but you know yourself, United, it was, a lot of it was going to be either a late Saturday or a Sunday from a Tuesday. And you had the extra day's rest, and you wasn't travelling to the deepest corners of Peru like you was in Europa League.
Maybe it's not on United. Maybe it's not on you yourself or whichever club's in the Europa. Maybe it's on the other team. So that other team's only playing Saturday. When they get an extra day to play you,
they
get an extra day to study you.
Of course, yeah.
Maybe people were looking at the wrong side of the coin on that one.
Yeah, true, but also the extra day gives a big help. But hopefully we can use that to our advantage, like... looking at obviously the kid who we brought in, he looks a bit of a lunatic. That's what we've missed at the back. I'm going about what do we need, and I'm thinking, well, we don't need a keeper, but I don't think that's I'd still think there's something in that.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I'm not. Till he retires, it's like the Ronaldo rumours back here. Yeah. They don't go away, regardless of what happens, as we saw this summer. So the fact is, the kid was a Real Madrid player, but for a fucking email file. Are you telling me he's still with his missus?
Yeah.
That desire's still there. Me and McCullough spoke about it on last week's Warm Down, actually, where we said, Matt has only got a year left on his contract.
Yeah.
There's always them rumours linking De Gea.
Yeah.
Barcelona are after Herrera. Yeah. There could be all this Spanish clique that we've got here now. They could all fuck off at the same time.
Yeah, of course they could. I'm surprised United, they've got to start talking to Matt very soon. I can't believe they've let it drop down to this. To this law, obviously, it looks like it's just been totally forgot about. Class player.
Yep. You know what I mean? Even though he wasn't playing permanent, wasn't a first choice. Good output of goals and assists last year. It's just where does he sit in a Mourinho system?
Yeah, and obviously the people make scenarios, and obviously he got rid of him at Wolves, and as soon as Mourinho came, he was the first out the door. And I bet he played more games than what people expected last year. He started the big games, didn't he? He started all the big games.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So obviously Mourinho just thought the bid what United put in was too good to turn down, and he really rated him, but had other players in that position to cover, and he virtually doubled his money at Chelsea. So it was good business all round for Chelsea. It was great business for us. But
easy story for the papers to write, though, isn't it?
Of course.
When you've sold him once, you're coming in somewhere else, he's going to get rid of him again.
Of course he is, yes. Easy story. Well, that's what I mean. A lot of those, you know, my thoughts on some of the press people, they're just like pinching stories off people, and it's boring, really, to be honest. And obviously this is their time of the year to make. I seen a thing on Twitter the other day with the picture of a plane taking off, and it was, the headline was all the players United are linked with, and the plane was like as big as the screen. You know, being United, you're going to be linked with all these players. But I think obviously, when do we go to America? Is it next Thursday?
The first game's the 15th,
so they'll be flying
there a few days before.
Yeah, so obviously, if you want to get people in and get them on there, it's got to be done this weekend. Now, the kid from Madrid there, they're up in an iron of 80 million. Surely there's people better than him and cheaper than him, Steve, and actually plays games, because he doesn't start a lot of games, does he?
No, he only plays against the shitter teams in La Liga for that.
Liga.
He did all right for Juventus.
Yeah, but Steve, let's have a night. That Italian league's like the Gorton Sunday League, mate. Isn't there his 3 or 4 decent teams?
Gorton Sunday League's good league.
Well, it's probably probably better than the Italian league. So we just got to wait and see. I just hope that we just don't start throwing silly money at silly players who... I only want players who are going to make us better, not what we've already got. If I see,
what about Lukaku?
I'd have him all day.
If Rooney's going out to Everton, Woodward and whoever is missing a fucking trick if they don't ask about him.
The dough they've spent, isn't that telling me that they're spending Lukaku's money and Barclays?
Well, they're talking they want like 80, 90 million for Lukaku, don't they? Which is...
I tell you what, mate, it's do you know what started it this year? No disrespect, I think he's an half decent keeper, but 30 million for that young kid, and that's a snowball effect. What's going to affect
Real Madrid? Have paid 45 for a 16-year-old. 45 million, I think it might be euros, but 45 million euros for a 16-year-old from Brazil. So when someone says 90 million for Lukaku, you go, that's cheap, I guess.
Well, look at who was it the other day? Liverpool had after that player.
Naby Keita.
80 million or something, yeah. And then they've started, what was it, don't drink Red Bull. And fucking hell.
Me and Dave went to RB Leipzig last season, and I want to do more of that again this season. Just go jib over, go and watch whoever.
Was he any good?
Was he any good?
Yeah.
He was good, yeah. Probably the second best player on the pitch. We went and watched Frankfurt and Leipzig, and it was a good crack actually in that stadium, considering they get a lot of stick because they're a plastic team, aren't they?
Yeah, they've only been developed, is it 10 years?
Yeah, I think it is 10 years.
10 years, and what do you think that the owner owns another club and they couldn't both go. They wasn't going to let them both into Europe because of the same sponsorship.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but they've let them do it now. Apparently there's another Red Bull summit.
Yeah, Salzburg.
And they're in Europe as well. And the UEFA weren't going to let them because of both Red Bull sponsorship or something like that. But they've got
a handful. They've got New York Red Bulls.
Yeah.
They've got one in Ghana and there's one in Brazil. And then they've got Red Bull Leipzig. Or they're not allowed to be called Red Bull Leipzig because of German law. So they're called Rasenball Sport Leipzig, RB Leipzig, but it's fucking Red Bull, innit?
Yeah.
And they play in the Red Bull Arena. They've got Red Bull on the shirts.
Yeah.
They serve Red Bull at the bar.
There was something that they both qualified for Europe and he wasn't going to let them, but I've seen it on the other day that it's going to happen now, so fair play to him.
Timo Werner was a good. I'll go into the Leipzig thing. So yeah, they started off in Division 7, which is like the Northwest Counties.
Yeah.
FC started.
Yeah, yeah.
So they bought the licence of a team that was in there. Now, Leipzig as a city is like one of the top four or five cities in Germany. And it used to have a team. The first Bundesliga winners was, I think, Lokomotive Leipzig.
Right, yeah.
And they went out of business like 10 years ago or something, or a bit longer ago, maybe early 2000s. So it's a massive, massive city in Germany that doesn't have a football team. So if all of the people that are watching them are from Leipzig, I don't see the issue, me, whether they're plastic or not. So they come up through Division 7, all the way through the Bundesliga leagues. And they
weren't they leading at one time last year?
Yeah. They went straight to the top. I think they ended up second or third still.
Yeah, they did.
Brilliant.
They had a good season.
They got a policy of buying. They don't buy superstars. They develop young German talent and then sell it on. And I got love for that, mate.
Of course, yeah.
So the fact that you're linked with that, or Liverpool are linked with that Keita, good player. Definitely a good player. Timo Werner's the one, I think, though. Smashing. And they play 4-4-2 and they fucking go for it. And the fans have a fucking right old sin tongue. You're like, how have these in 10 years gone from fuck all to having this really good match day culture? We were having a beer and a bratty outside.
What we could only dream of now at Old Trafford Palace.
So one end behind the goal, standing up for the old time, couple of dicks at the bottom with a fucking drum and a megaphone and all that lot. Someone at United would get crucified if they tried to do that, wouldn't they? Because I think United fans think we're too cool for that shit. And we'd rather stand there looking all moody rather than get stuck in.
Do you know what I thought, Steve? What had happened with the barrenish years of Moyes and Van Gaal? I thought this would have brought the day trippers away and the hardcore mainly back in. But I think
atmosphere-wise, Moyes' season was top.
Yeah.
Well, it was better than it was for the last few Fergie years, I thought.
Yeah, I just think the wrong people are not in the ground now. But that's football, not just Old Trafford. It's football. Well, you proved it for me. The photograph at Anfield, behind the dugout, of taking pictures of Marino when the years gone by. If it was Fergie, they were throwing pies at him and everything. And that's it for me, modern day football now.
Or when United tried to, anyone who knows United, this is about as much colour as I'll ever fucking wear. It's a retro shirt.
Yeah.
And United did a campaign last season, not the one, the last Van Gaal season. Everyone gets the United away shirt if you go in Anfield. And they wanted to make it a wall of white, didn't they?
Yeah.
And you're like,
They didn't put them on seats or anything. You got them sent in your post, and like, if you're late from work or the post is late, you're not going to get it, is it? I think that so many ideas at Old Trafford now, in other grounds, is just absolute joke. And you mean noise people, and in the booze are watching it on a Norwegian satellite. You know what I mean? And it's sad.
I don't know. I'd love to see that German culture, because German football does have a really good culture. When me and Dave went to Leipzig, we was in a bar from fucking 11 o'clock in the morning, and they had every German game on. So like, imagine Soccer Saturday that we get here with Jeff Stelling, but instead of that guy just talking about the games,
you'll see the game.
They would they'd play 5 minutes of a game and then play 5 minutes of this game, and then they'd have Munich on, then they'd have Dortmund on, and they'd be like, oh, this has just happened, and they were showing it you.
Like it does on Champions League when you can go
to
the ground.
Yeah, yeah. So it was fucking, and we're watching it all, and there was a couple of Dortmund fans in the bar we was in and that, and they was watching, and there's still smoking there as well, which blew my fucking mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we go to the ground, and everyone's already fucking well boozed up because we love a bit of lager there in Germany, don't they?
Today.
Nice. And you can have a, it's safe standing, so everyone's having a fucking balloon. Yeah. They've all got the, you know, twizzling the scarves around. You can have a pint on the terrace, and not only can you have a pint on the terrace, they come in these mad cups which you can put in, like the handle was hollow, so you can stack six or seven of them.
Yeah.
So you can carry a fucking seven in this hand and seven in this hand for all lads going back to your seat. Are you just thinking?
You're not getting ripped off as well. You price wise, to get in there.
I think we got ripped off. I think we ended up paying €60 a piece for a ticket. The face value of it was €15. We had to go through, I think we went through Ticketmaster or Viagogo or something like that, because we thought, I'm not risking it outside the ground to not get one. I can buy one online here now. I'm buying one online rather than get there and not fucking have a ticket.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But €15 a go, and you're like, stadium was full, everyone was fucking bouncing.
Was it old?
40, I think. 40, yeah. 44, 45 maybe.
So what are they in next year? Are they in the
Champions League?
Oh, Champions League.
Champions League. So if we draw them, that would be a fucking top away.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely
banging. Probably draw them now.
Any fucking German away is a banging away, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that fucking culture's gone at Old Trafford. I mean, you obviously remember a few more years than me. The first two, three seasons I was going was still the old Stretford end, and my dad used to stick us on the railings and then fuck off and leave us. And I remember that being loud as fuck. Loud as fuck.
You had the finger. Obviously, I started in the scoreboard paddock, which is now where the away fans are.
In black and white.
Moving round to the Stretford paddock, moving into the Stretford end, to the left side. I was a left side Stretford ender.
Left side was the north side, wasn't it?
Left side was the north side.
See, that's where I remember being. Just before the covering ended, before it got open.
Yeah, and then into United Road, then into the scoreboard. Great day, Steve. Great days, and don't forget, it wasn't as big as it was now. You'd be in there with 40,000, it'd be absolutely bouncing. The best night of my United life, and people going, I was quite lucky to be there, the Barcelona 3-0.
My dad says, as loud as it's ever been in Old Trafford.
What a night, mate. I can still remember it now, talking sheet, getting off school in the morning, going down. I've still got the ticket stub somewhere around, something like £2 or something, and the noise that night. But don't forget, we were 2-0 down from the first leg.
To Maradona's Barcelona, by the way.
Maradona, yeah, Bernd Schuster. 7 or 8 of the Spanish team. And then they just thought they had to turn up, mate. And then obviously, what a night.
Brian Robson.
Colossal.
Explain to the lads here about Brian Robson, because for me, Robbo was on the wane by the time I started properly understanding United.
You've got to look at the Robbo scenario, is that he carried the team. We were a very, very average team.
Robbo told me he sees Gerrard's career very much like his own. So it was a transitional Liverpool team.
Probably right there, Steve, but obviously we
hurt me to hear him say it, about it.
But if you look at our team there, we were a very good cup team. You know, I mean, we get to the final every other year, get decent plays, but always balled up against a lesser team. I record under Big Run and all that against Liverpool and all that was second to none. We beat them all the time, but we lose to Norwich at home.
What was the crack with that season when we went unbeaten at the start of the season? I was going to blow every fucker away. Was it 86?
It was 80. No. Was it 84, 85? On 85, 86. You had Peter Barnes left wing. And we got City beating City 3-0 half an hour since going in an absolute belter with his right foot. Going all over, and then I think the match was. I remember going down to Luton, it's when Luton had banned away fans, and we drew 1-1, and that was the 11th game.
Why was away fans banned?
Because the Millwall had smashed it up in the cup. A few kids got in who were new, managed to kick a door down and got in. But and then the week after, we went to Sheffield Wednesday and got beat 1-0, and we took the ground, something like 50,000 there, must have had 30,000 reds in the ground. Got beat 1-0, Lee Chapman. Then it just went down, that Robbo got injured a lot that year, it was a bad blow. But what people forget is that we'd won the first 10 games, but Liverpool had won the first 8 and lost one and drew one, so there was only a couple of points behind us. More than likely is the second place team might have lost 3 or 4, but Liverpool had only lost one, and obviously they were right in our coattails. And to be honest, Liverpool was a good team then. but it was Robbo's injury, but Robbo was absolute great, and it summed him up on that night. The Barcelona game was, he was unbelievable, not just him, people like Butch Wilkins was great that night, and Graham Hogg and Remy Moses, everybody put a shift in. Big Norman, Bailey makes a save from Schuster and Maradona. You can't knock anyone that night. It was the best night of my Old Trafford life.
Stapleton in that as well.
Stapleton's got the third, yeah, from Norman's knockdown from Arthur Alderson, another great player. I was talking to Tim Burgess last week. Was looking friends with Tim and the Charlton boys. We were talking about favourite United player of all time, and Tim went straight away Arthur Alderson. You know,
you don't usually hear that.
Mark, the guitarist, Steve Coppell. You know what I mean? Steve Coppell was a great player. The injury he got now, he'd still be playing in today's day. He'd be fixed. Steve Coppell, what a player, mate. I was lucky enough to see him. What a winger, what a player. And retired at 26, you know, it was such a shame. Same with Remy Moses.
He's one of yours, isn't he, Remy?
Oh,
see, I don't know a lot about Remy Moses. I guess every other fucker don't know. So
Moses, hard as nails.
Centre mid,
but could play. You can't get him around. You know the one who reminds me of in recent years? Was Gattuso, Rangers.
Oof.
Horrible, but fair most of the time.
I fucking loved him at Old Trafford, Gattuso.
Could have come when he managed the Scottish Bird, didn't he? Mates of Ferguson's family. Could have come, it was all there. You know what I mean? You've got to be hard to start with Joe Jordan. You know what I mean? You've got to have some balls to start with Jordan.
He's only little one, aren't he? About 5'8 or something.
Sorry, great player, radio. That's what Moses was. And obviously, he got a bad ankle injury and he had to retire. Probably 27, just got into the England squad, but such a great player. But nowadays you get your hardman who can't play, like your Teddy Earlock used to play for Millwall, your Vinnie Jones could lump him but couldn't play football, Moses could play the game as well.
But Robbo was also an hard cunt as well, wasn't
Robbo
it?
Robbo was hard, yeah. Robbo, Norman, it was Norman dropped back into midfield.
It was, I don't know if Robbo told the story actually. Was it Robbo telling the story? It might have been Lee Sharp telling a story about it, actually. Or someone else telling a story about they put Robbo in an A game just as Beckham and Giggs and Scholes and that was coming through. Scholes used to play up front, didn't
he? Yeah.
Little. Someone left one in on him. I want to say Burrows or someone like that. Coventry. Someone left one in on Scholes. And Robbo went and absolutely fucking ruined him. And was like, don't fucking do that to my life.
I remember a friend of mine, Ali Pickering, used to play for Coventry under Big Ron, played in the Gorton Sunday League, character, big city fan, was playing for Coventry Reserves against United at Old Trafford. Robson was making a comeback from injury.
For a change.
Made the mistake of trying to nutmeg Robson. Robson said to him, try that again. He only tried it again. What happened next? Robbo just absolutely splattered him. Put him out of the game for 3 months. Don't ever try and do that again, dickhead, he said. That's the character you miss. I can't love Robbo now. I was talking over there about Ince was a great player. You know what I mean?
Ince was my first favourite, if you like. Ince, when
but
I was
he didn't
first
help
watching.
Him going to Liverpool, obviously, via Inter Milan, but hearing stories off people who know he worked there. He had initials written on certain things which the kids couldn't use, the governors and all that. And I'm thinking, he could have been an absolute United legend.
Didn't he ask Roy Keane to call him the governor?
Yeah.
Instead of Paul or Inter?
I heard it. I don't know if it's the Keane or... You could be right, Steve, but you know what I mean? He could have been an absolute... I'm talking, he could have been in the Robson, legendary, and the Keane, and then he had to go and sign for them honourable cunts. You know what I mean?
And celebrate.
Celebrate the game, yeah. That was a 2-2 game, that, wasn't it?
Was that 95?
It was a 2-2. No, it was the.
We drew 2-2 with West Ham, and they.
No, I tell you what,
lost to Blackburn, was it?
No, it was the thing game when we was going with Arsenal. It was the treble year when Dennis Irwin got sent off, and we missed the cup final. That was a game when Ince scored. Sure, it was when he got the equaliser. And he was looking, given it, and all that, and. But the programme didn't help, did it? With Ferguson was calling him Charlie, one of the United fans was thinking Charlie watched his book. Great player.
Joe, I think it takes
for
you
what
a couple
paid
of
for
years.
Him, Steve? 1.5 million? Or was it 1.2? Right, steal.
I think you flip-flop a little bit on your favourite player. Because I've got a theory on who your favourite player is. And I'll ask you in a minute and see if it works for you. I think for your first couple of years of going to the match, you might have one or two different favourites, but I think then after two or three years of going, it's a player comes along and that's your fucking hero for life. So Ince was my first that I really liked. So my dad went and got a birthday card off him for us when I was about 8. But in 1992 we signed Eric Cantona and I was 9. And from then that was it. And he is my fucking hero. So what year was your first game?
My first game, Steve, would have been 1977, 6 years of age.
And your favourite player is?
Favourite player at that time?
No, your all-time favourite player.
Got to go Robbo, Cantona. It's hard, Steve.
So we got Robbo in 81, so that was 4 years after you started going.
You had people like, he was a good friend of mine, I used to love it, United, Mickey Thomas, being a left footer. You know, Mickey wasn't there that long, but a great player. And you got to look at Gordon Hill, Stevie Coppell, and you know Martin Buchan was a great player. You ask people now who's his all-time, obviously the older lot. Some of these kids don't realise how good a player Martin Buchan was. You know, he was a great player.
From what I've heard, like a Rolls Royce, like a Rio.
Class, mate.
Good on the ball, hard as fuck.
And imagine what he'd be like now on these carpet pitches. Don't get the fucking swamps what they were playing on.
Oh, yeah, you see some of the highlights from United back in the day.
Smoke cigars.
Like, no blade of grass from October to April.
Martin Buchan was a great player, you know. And you can go like, obviously then in the 80s, we had the likes of Strachan and Jesper Olsen, you know what I mean, we changed and usually was coming to four. We had a great team, but we always just lacked that killer instinct to believe we could win the league, you know what I mean, I don't think there was that belief.
Why didn't it work out with Atkinson? Because he seemed close, he's second and third a couple of times and... Good in the cups.
Steve, but that second was a long second and third away from
wasn't.
And I also think he didn't know that Liverpool had a great team in those 80s. He wasn't, I hate saying it, mate, you know my hatred for them, but they did have a good team. And it was like, when you lost the game, it was fucking major news, mate, that Liverpool had lost the game, or, you know what I mean? So I don't think Big Ron was that far, I just think that Liverpool were that good. You know what I mean? They never, ever did the slip up like, but they always recovered and always won the league. But I think any other era, then Big Ron could have been maybe this go down as a great United manager. I just think that, like the fact that that time, cup game,
being second to one of the best ever,
but second to one of the best teams probably in British football history, which is you got to hold your hands up and say Liverpool was, you know what I mean, they had some great players. But we always won well against them. That was the more frustrating part for United fans.
Well, City always did well against us when they were shit though, didn't they? You step up, don't you?
It's like, I fucking hate Derby days. I fucking hate them till a day of gold, Steve. You know what I mean? Even when they were shit and had no money, I was always...
Yeah, they'd always fucking turn up, wouldn't they? One game a season that they bother for.
I always remember winning the treble. We won the treble, like, and I know now... I'm probably only one of 400 to 500 Reds who went to every round. I went to the prelim in Poland when we had 400 fans there. Obviously, Bayern Munich, Barcelona.
Bromby,
yeah. Sleeping in the airport, getting it over the head with a brush at 6 in the morning. Because I wasn't going to pay for an hotel, so I was flying back early. Into Milan. Juventus, what a night that was. People going about the 99 final. But I always remember stood there with me, who had been to every round with, and I don't know if you can see him on the telly, but when Juventus scored, they had water fountains behind the nets. No, they went up and they played, something did play? The Blues Brothers. They went up 2-0 up within 12 minutes. And I always remember saying to my mate...
Listen, they was the best team in the world in 99. They was, I don't think it was reigning champions of Europe or whatever, but they was, that Zidane, Davids...
Conte,
yeah, the Chelsea manager now. But they was the best team in world football. They were fucking top. Yeah, he was.
Who else played for them? Who else could have been?
I don't know if Deschamps was still there or it was a couple of years early. Del Piero.
Del Piero played that night. I might be wrong.
I don't think he did play that night.
But obviously, when Inzaghi scored that, the fucking fountain went up. And I always remember saying to this mate, we're getting through it. I remember 2-0 down in fucking 11 minutes gone, he'd have come. And we absolutely battered him. And I'll always remember when Coley got the third goal, there was a segregation between the Juventus fans and the United fans in Aerdia. I remember running into it, I was on like the bottom tier, and the police hitting me with batons round the back of my legs. couldn't feel a thing. And then we actually stayed in Milan that night. And going back there and drinking this Irish booze was completely dry, and no one got to bed. It was a great night. Obviously, the final was a great night, but for the Reds, lucky enough to go to the semi. With the scenario being 2-0 down.
Everyone talks about Roy Keane that night, but for me, that night, again, was another David Beckham fucking masterclass. Because I think he's criminally underrated by Reds, mate. I think he was a fucking brilliant player who loved United.
Yeah, he did, but Keane that night was immense. He said he could have gone, he just got booked.
Scholes had final. Went, didn't it?
Scholes had come on a sub, hadn't
he? Yeah.
And he's head had gone. It was, but they're still playing in that, and knew it meant to the team. Beckham was always going to be like, because of his lifestyle, who he's knocking about with. Great lad, by the way. Still see Ted now and again. Seen him at Wembley. FA Cup final, a pint with him. United daft. What a dream that would have been for his son to play for United.
What a fucking career he's ended up having.
Hey, you can't knock it, mate. People say
the guy took football to America.
Yeah. And people just said he was a very, very average player, but
AC Milan, Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester United.
There you
over 100 caps for England. Won a treble with his borrowed club and his mates.
Where did it all go wrong, David? Hey? But, so we know this, Stevie, was it? What he did, he wasn't going to set players on with pace, but he knew that. He could ping a ball.
Could he?
You know what I mean? He could ping a ball, put it on the six.
Everyone so. Goes on about Keno's header. Who delivered it?
There you go.
Who put the ball in for Cole for that goal?
There you go.
Who put the balls in for Solskjaer and Sheringham in the final?
There you go.
Giggs scored a wonder goal in the semi-final against Arsenal. Who scored the first?
There you go.
It's a fucking belter of a goal.
Birthday that night. So cracking night that, Steve. There was a also going on about Villa, Villa Park. If you remember in the, you know what it'd be, night is where BBC started putting the Sunday 7 o'clock match live. We drew Villa away. And it's funny this, and we're 2-0 down. United have took the ground, mate. If you go on YouTube and watch it, still brings goosebumps to me. It was unbelievable. I've got some kids there, outrun kids from Manchester. And there's a picture somewhere, don't forget at that time, I'm still working at United, security.
If you watch the Promised Land DVD, if you watch the Promised Land DVD as the players are coming out from the tunnel, what be fucking stand there
see
with a tie on?
You see my name on the credits. So I've got Mel Gibson's company who done that. I've got a bit of a drop off him.
Mel Gibson's?
Mel Gibson's film company who done that, yeah. It was a year after we won the treble. So going back to that Villa Park thing, obviously, we're 2-0 down. Solskjaer makes it 2-1. Right, and then Rude makes it 2-1. Then Rude gets the winner. And you can see me on the pitch. As the ball's come out there, I've got the ball, and Schmeichel was in net and a booting pass, and he stared at me and he's pulled. My mate pulled me, so what year would that be? It'd be 2000 and... Before he went to City Villa? Or was it after? Because he went to Sporting Lisbon, didn't he, after United?
Yeah, it must have...
Did he go to Villa first?
Villa, then City, yeah.
Right, so it's 2001 then, isn't it?
Later, I think. He did 2 years at Lisbon, I think.
Oh, did he? Well, whatever it was then. And he's looked at me to say, I know who you've come. And he was in the pub once, and one of the lads, and I've never got this picture off it today. He's took a picture on his camera of me booting a ball in the net. And I'd love to get it, and every time I see him, which is very, very rare, he said, I'll bring you that picture, but apparently it's classy. You can just see Schmeichel on his arches after Rude put it in, and I've just smashed the ball and passed it in the net to make it 4-2. But there's been some great trips for United. Now, I always remember one of the greatest ones was, we called it Fergie's funeral at Forest away, third round of the FA Cup.
And Robbins scored.
Mark Robbins from Mark Hughes' outside of the foot. And he actually had all the bottom end. The noise that day was unbelievable. But the week before, we'd just been beat by Crystal Palace at home. And I think that was the one with the banner, Tadar Fergie, whatever it was, that bloke who made the banner.
Pete Molyneux, I think it was.
And that's what we called it, Fergie's funeral.
Another thing I asked Robbo when I spoke to him was, I said, give us a lowdown. I said, how close is Fergie to going? And he goes, off the record, but I kept recording. He goes, I asked Martin Edwards myself, he goes, because I wanted to know. He goes, after he'd won the title. And then Edwards goes, wasn't going to sack him. So it was the papers. But obviously, I was 5-6 at the time. I have no idea how close he came.
To be honest, Steve, the football was terrible. The crowds were going down. There were some very average players. The club wasn't spending money. Nothing was coming through. And it wouldn't have shocked me if he would have got sacked. Especially after that, I think it was 2-1 we got beat by Palace at home. And we were fucking absolutely dreadful, mate.
We were just above relegation as well in that
season. I always remember going to a match, Steve, that year, the year we won the cup, playing Millwall away. And if we got beat, we'd have gone into the bottom three. We won 2-1. Danny Wallace and Mark Hughes scored, and Danny Wallace. We beat them 2-1. And it jumped up about 4 or 5 places. But if we'd have got beat that day at Millwall, we'd have gone into the bottom three. It doesn't bear thinking, you know.
Finest
what I mean?
Of margins.
And there wasn't a great world of United fans there. It was the old Millwall as well. I tell you, shit myself.
What's the crack with Millwall? Is the reputation deserved or what? Because I know my dad went, I think we played him in the 70s when we played him.
I just think it was the area at the time, obviously. Millwall had the name, where the ground was very shady. Like, look at some grounds now, you can't even fart the coppers on you. But some grounds, like Maimed Old ones, that's why City had a reputation. All local alleyways,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, Roma's fucking the Terry Streets.
Terry Streets, you get away with it. But
there was a guy started on us down south once. I was in a bar, it was when I was in the army,
yeah.
And my whole squadron was in a bar, and a guy kicked off us over a pool table. And he was in my face, and he had fucking check shirt on, a big belly open with a load of tattoos on it. And he was just singing Millwall at me, and I was like, "Is that meant to intimidate me?" I said, "Do me a favour, mate." I said, "Can you see everybody around here looking at you?" I said, "They're all with me."
Yeah.
And he shut up and fucked off. But I was like, I don't get this Millwall thing.
I just think it was
like the guy who did kicked off with the 2 ISIS guys. Fuck off on Millwall.
I just think he got that name because I look at like when United played Millwall in the FA Cup final at Cardiff. I didn't see one bit of either, you know. Now, if Millwall, this was their opportunity for the football hooligan side or whatever you want to do it, Phil's game for me, to make a statement. I'm just hundreds and hundreds of United just outnumbered and everything, and I'm thinking, have a load of United old boys come out because it's Millwall. We'll have a little weekend away in Wales. I just think that the way they used to wreck grounds and all that, like they did at Luton, just to make a point with that day, there was loads of Chelsea were there, you know, and non-footballing people. So I just think that the people are not so set. And then obviously they brought all these films out, United, Millwall, this Millwall, that, and fighting ISIS as well. I don't know, mate. I just think that London's one of those places, isn't it? You know, it's for me, it's. I could never live down London if you give me £1 million.
But you're only getting a fucking semi as well if you get £1 million.
Of course you are. And it's, I don't know, I just think that they've done a few things, and probably in the day they've probably gone to places and wrecked them with certain individuals, and they've stayed on that reputation for years. But what do they normally get Millwall?
It doesn't happen, does it, man? It doesn't fucking happen at football nowadays. We see a bit, obviously you're at Old Town Football every week. European away fans seem to cause a load of mither coming past there.
Yeah, but
possibly because of the cordon.
I think the thing as well, Steve, is it's that 5 years in prison what have put a lot of people off that side of it, you know what I mean? Years ago, in the 70s and 80s, I've heard some stories what Sam told me about the early times. You just get a slap on the wrist and they let you out. But now, once they've brought that football in, 5 year ban, 5 year imprisonment, sorry. People shit themselves, Steve.
2 years ago when it went off at Arsenal, I was on bail for 9 fucking months, mate, with it. Nearly a full fucking year of getting fucked about. I mean, I'd go back to Islington and speak to the coppers and all that. No action taken in the end. But it's a nose, isn't it? Like, I thought that. You get a fucking slap on the wrist and fucked off. But no, you end up getting fannied about. And if I'd have got charged, I'd have lost my job.
Yeah,
and that's what everyone's got to fucking deal with now, isn't it?
You know, if you look at now, you get all these stories of the hooligans, especially with England. They're all solicitors, they're all people with high profile jobs, you know what I mean? School teachers and solicitors. And then they've had to realise the shape then. I'm thinking, hang on a minute, I'm going to lose my family here, my wife, my job, for a bit of a rough and a tumble on a Saturday in the afternoon.
It's fucking madness, isn't it?
No. And I think they did well, like, because it's isolated, isn't it, now, the police and the cameras. And it's good because you know what I've got to match. I've never got to Roker Park once. And we were United that season, forget what season it was. A lot of matches away we were winning 2-0, and I got beat 3-2. We've done the same at Sunderland. I come out there, my mate's gone into the shop, next thing I got about 10 of them trying to kick me head in. They just beat us. They'd won. You know what I'm thinking? And then, to be honest, it put me off a bit. Going on matches, like, there's only two lads in the shop getting something to eat or whatever. They followed us up from the away and jumped me 10 of them. And I'm thinking, luckily I managed to get away with it. And I'm thinking, hang on, what happens if we would have won? You know, is it?
I get, Anfield's a weird one. Anfield do debt. There is an intimidation at Anfield still, especially if you come away from Cardiff. I've parked in the wrong places sometimes.
Yeah, you can do. See, the thing is at Anfield, I fell for it myself. Have you got the time, mate? And you're like, man, and then they follow you. You know what I mean? That's why you get a lot of Reds who, I walk to the ground with food in the mouth, so people won't ask him. Don't ask him, you know what I mean, if you see someone eating.
Well, we come out the Anfield Road then, don't you? And they foot you off left down towards the station, down towards town, don't they?
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, I'd parked on the other side near a pub called the Flatiron.
Right, yeah.
You have to come back towards the Cop End and then go down that road away from it. So me and Ben have popped out of the cordon, and it's like gone from, don't noise it, and then just eerily quiet, and these groups of lads all with their hands down the pants, just looking at you, and you're like, fuck's sake, just wearing grey, you know what I mean? I'm not wearing, don't wear colours anyway. And you're just like, oh. And we had to go past two pubs that had all spilled out onto the bingo. I'm like, fucking hell, I was like, what are we going to do? There's a load of guys, about 60-year-old in front of us with red and yellow scarves on, clearly Liverpool. So I said to them, right, what are we going to do? Just ghost right behind these two, get a bit uncomfortably close, like we're with them, and just have, like, be on your phone or something. Yeah. And walk through, but fucking 50p, 5p, a little bit, coming through there.
Yes.
And at City, coming out of City a couple of times, I might have had a face on me, because we'd lost, because it seems to be the norm.
Well, the thing is with City, though, Steve, I won't go there anymore.
I speak the language though, so am I getting clocked?
What, stop? You don't speak like a stop Fordian.
But you're walking out there, someone's like, you fucking Munich cunt, and you're like,
no colours on it, no. Yeah.
That's probably why.
Because you didn't have your Ben Sherman on
my moustache.
Yeah. But I've stopped going there, me mate. I'll never go in there again. Ayton, with a passion. People say to me, you hate more City or Liverpool, but hate City more. Ayton.
That's a deal with City more.
I just hate them, Steve. I just hate them. They're just absolute clowns, a lot of them. They're going on with this. I just hate them, mate. I hate the Scousers as well, question, but just them. I just won't go anymore. You know me, lad, he's just mad for going. He has my ticket every year now. I never set foot back in the place every year. But the last time I went in there, Steve, was when Ronaldo scored.
That was a while ago.
Apparently, and I got legged all over the graveyard by lads who used to grow up with. On my own and behind tombstones, I thought, it's for the game of soldiers. Probably if you come in a match where we had to get something.
Title decider.
I'd have to go in then. But other than that, mate.
Do you want another?
Yeah, go on.
All right, so just had a quick break where we went and got a refill. So I'm going to title this about Wayne Rooney because I think that's the big talking topic of this weekend.
Yeah.
And the big question that I've got for you is, Wayne Rooney. Now, there is an argument online, and there is a split. And I'm not saying if anyone's right or anyone's wrong, but it seems like a lot of match-going fans can't stomach calling him a legend. Now, at the start of this video, you said you think he is a legend. Well, why do you think match-going fans, at least, haven't taken to
it? I think the first thing, when he first signed, was that Scouser thing. I remember going to matches and a United fan singing "You Scouse Bastard."
Not ironically though.
No, but at the end of the day, he's not helped himself in some of the things he's done. He's got to be a legend. I think he's a top goal scorer of our club. And like you said before, Steve, for someone to beat that, I've got to have 10 years of scoring 25 goals a season.
I think Wayne Rooney, the player, up until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And especially, as we said before, his peak coincided with possibly United under Fergie's peak.
Yeah.
3 Champions League finals in 4 years. That Ronaldo team. Now, Ronaldo had a big part to play in that, but we also got to a final without him.
Yeah.
That was the peak of Wayne Rooney. I don't like people saying he sacrificed himself for the team. Did he? Did he? No, he was asked to play in a position by the best manager in the world, so he fucking plays in his position, like he fucking should do.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever the best number 9 in the world. I don't think he was ever the best number 10 in the world. But I tell you what, if there was a team, if I had a Pete Wayne Rooney, he's in my fucking team somewhere. Oh, I'd find a place for that guy because he was a winner.
He was a great, don't get me wrong, Steve. He had like 2 or 3 years there. It was virtually unplayable, you know.
When fucking Xavi and Iniesta was winning Ballon d'Ors coming out of their arse, sometimes well worth it. Sometimes I think Barcelona and Real Madrid get favoured in that. Voting a little bit unfairly.
It's only me, win it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is at the moment, isn't it? Fuck me. But I think Wayne Rooney, for the feats that he did in England and across Europe, should have been in the top 3 of that at some point.
It's the same with Fingy, though. Scholes at United, why was he never player of
never,
the year?
Yeah, one never played it, ever. Yeah. And that's something like Scousers and Chelsea fans will say Lampard and Gerrard was better because they won individual awards.
Yeah, but
11 league titles says go fuck yourself, mate.
You look at Scholes in there, you know what I mean? He was a great player. But going back, not going back to Rooney, I just think that he'll always, till the day we stop going to football, he could, by the time he new finishes, records could still be there for both England and United.
Could be.
And we're going to say, and your grandkids are going to say, what was this Wayne Rooney like? And you could be thinking, great player but a cunt. You know,
Roy Keane was a great player but a cunt, though.
Well, you need to be a cunt. Do you know what? I remember years ago when he calmed down a bit, Rooney, and it took away Wayne Rooney. It wasn't the Wayne Rooney. It was finding it. If a centre half got off of me, booted, wouldn't even get a book in. And that went from his game for a bit, for about 8 months. Mm. Then he got it back. Now, for me, you've got to treat him with respect. I said to you, after he owed the club to ransom, he got a nice pay rise. It was probably right because there was no decent players coming in. But for me, he owed my club to ransom. I never boo him. Never jeered him when his name was read out. I wouldn't sing his name again, but he still played for my team. And at the end of the day, I went and watched Manchester United to win, and whoever scored, that was all for me.
Did it 253 fucking times.
There you go.
And
for me, you've got to call him a legend. He's the highest goal scorer of the biggest club in the world, so what does that make him?
Well, the argument I would say to you, I won't answer it, me, because I'm, for starters, I'm sick of arguing and defending my opinion on it. I will say there's a question mark against him, and I think you'd have to agree on that there is a question mark against him.
Of course it's a question. There's a question mark on every player, isn't there?
So, you know? I say, okay, there's a question mark against it. I lean towards, yeah, it's probably a legend in all honesty, but I will say question mark. And I'll also say he didn't take to the fans as well as he could have. And that's something that upsets me with him. When you see, and people will take the tiniest little bit of what I'm saying and say, I don't think he's a legend because he doesn't tweet, right? It's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When you look at the whole package of everything that goes on to make Wayne Rooney, there was a fucking time, a couple of years ago, we lost to Newcastle, I think, and there was like three or four players, and one of them was Schweinsteiger, I think, who said, I am sorry to the fans. That was not good enough. We will do better, 3 points next week, right? Even if Rooney's got an intern to just say that bollocks, right? Whether it's true or not, just to... Wayne Rooney went on Twitter and said, going to watch Tiger Woods, can't wait.
Yeah.
Didn't acknowledge the
captain.
This is the captain of Manchester United, right?
Listen,
and you don't have to be on Twitter. Scholes wasn't on Twitter. Roy Keane's not on Twitter. You don't have to be on Twitter. But if you are, I expect you to at least fucking acknowledge that we're paying you nearly $500,000 a week to just fucking say something about it.
He should never be captain from day one for me. But that was the manager's choice. The thing at the time was he was going to stay and go, and then Moyes come.
He was gone.
He'd gone, and he was gone. Contracts, and it was all happy days. And for me, no disrespect for him. We've had some great years out of Rooney.
He was actually great for Moyes that first season when he had that bra on his head.
Yeah.
He was fucking good for us that season. It's after just, that, he's not really.
He's just gone downhill, unfortunately. It happens to us all. Like, but I think the best thing is for him to go back to the club who he loves.
But there's a lot of talk. It may have happened already, because, like I said,
I think it's done, Steve.
Wednesday for us too, but you know, this goes out Monday. There's also talk of China, which I don't think you can rule out. There's also talk of MLS, or not so much this summer.
Yeah. I think it was one of the two. I think with his young family, America would be the one. No disrespect to China, I think America would be the one. But the word on the street is, Steve, that it's all done and dusted. Everything's his love. We've seen that, didn't we, the other year when they played Chelsea in the cup final and Saha scores after 15 seconds and he's punching the air, which is, I know you've been brought up in Everton.
Of course
it is.
He texts his lad to Everton to go and watch him. He is an Everton fan, and I don't hold that against him.
Yeah.
I don't think I hold him being Scouse against him, in all honesty.
Yeah.
It's just that you look at how Paddy Everett connected to the fans, you look at how Schweinsteiger connected to the fans, Solskjaer. You're talking about a Norwegian, a French guy, and a German here, and they've all connected to it, and this is the guy that's the club captain. Now, okay, Roy Keane never really connected with the fans, so maybe I'm an hypocrite, because Roy Keane's one of my favourite players. I just, I just can't take to Rooney.
I just know that you're saying about Keane. If he would have got beat, Keane would have been at home kicking his doors in.
Yeah.
Rooney would be out on the piss smoking 20 fags.
Maybe that's the thing. So yeah, and you hear about him. He's not looking after himself. Giggsy started doing yoga. He might have been banging everything in sight, but he was doing yoga to prolong his career.
Yeah, but I think also as well, like, the word on the street is that Rooney's known about this Everton move, and it's been done and dusted probably before the Europa Cup final. Which broke my heart, him lifting the cup, nothing against him.
No, I think Valencia deserves that.
Lifting the cup, you know what I mean? And that, when he come on there, I was buzzing, I was in the stadium, that we'd won the pot to complete the jigsaw. But for Valencia to give him the armband and thinking, do you deserve that, Wayne? You probably do with what you've done for us, it's probably your last game. And apparently he's super fucking fit, Rooney. Now, he can be super fit. You still got to have the ability of playing football. But what I look at, honestly, yeah, apparently he's been in the gym, absolutely hammering it, not been out on a beer. So
this is 5 years too late, though.
Of course it's 5 years too late, but you've got to look at it, that. I'm looking at his football thing now. Where does he play at Everton? Does he get in the team?
Not if Lukaku's playing.
Does he get in the team?
So maybe Lukaku should come to United.
I'd
fucking carry that cunt back from down the up that end of the M62.
Do you know what, Steve? I'd take him now, but not for the money. But like you say, you just mentioned that about the Brazilian kid. And
what makes nothing makes sense?
Money.
How much for Morata? Yeah, whatever.
Fucking looks a snip, doesn't it? 89 million, you know what I mean? But it's only going to go more and more daft. But if he goes, I'll have fond memories of Wayne. More fond memories of Bad. I'll always remember his hat trick on his debut against Fenerbahce.
Oh, how fucking excited was you?
Of course he was. And he also,
as he buries that third one, I was looking at my mate and I was going, you know what, oh my God.
Do you know what, as well, what I'll always remember about Wayne is the Newcastle game where we beat him 2-1.
Bollocking a ref.
But I was sat in the National Suite.
Right.
At the Stretford End, and when he hit that volley, I've ducked. It's just an automatic thing, he's hit and it's flew in the back of the net, pass he ain't given. You know what I mean? And you've had some great memories of the goals he scored.
Yes,
I remember the goal he scored against Bolton, the 1-2 Ronaldo from their corner.
Oh my God, yeah.
And that's when he was at his pom there, you know what I mean? And there will be great memories. You can't play for all those years for a club like ours. No.
But I don't know how many appearances he's got. I think he's cruising in on 600, I think. Somewhere along those lines.
There you go.
He's been an excellent footballer. It's just those last couple of years have left a bit of a sour taste, I think. Because he has been treated preferentially by some people. And captain's privileges under Van Gaal really nosed everyone off that he was never dropped when he fucking should have been.
He never got taken off, did he?
Mourinho's handled it very fucking well, actually. Dropped him for the derby. Massive uproar at the derby, and then not much after that.
Yeah.
Maybe that was when it got done. Maybe he went to Stretford then, get me out of here. He's not going to play me. Fucking.
How many years left have you got in your contract, too?
One. Is the word with a extension if he wants it, or if we want it, or something. Right. Is the word.
I'd like to get a few quid back, but like the same with the wages, what we'll save on paying him, and whoever's going to come in, will be on big wages, and it releases that money, but I think he'll go with his head held up high. He's been a great success.
I don't think we're being disrespectful talking about how much he's faded, and I don't think when we're assessing how good he is now that reflects on what he's done.
I always remember, believe it or not, I watched the England-Germany game in the 2006 World Cup when they got beat 4-1 and Lampard scored the goal that never given.
Yeah.
And the commentator says, I can't believe it, Wayne Rooney's touch today is really off. I was screaming at the telly. The last fucking 2 years it's been off, and then after that World Cup he'd come on a level again. It looked like he was going down and he'd come on a level again.
I think in a lot of ways he was like Gerrard, as that he didn't have the greatest touch ever. He was never a Pirlo or a Carrick or a Scholes. He made up for a lot of his flaws with just pure fucking physicality.
Yeah.
And I think that's an English trait, I think, as an English footballer. I think we tear our ass around the place like a bull in a china shop and fucking make things happen, and Rooney definitely did that. And then you can have that in a team if you've got your Carricks and your Ronaldos and your finesse Scholes and Giggs around you. And Adam said last night, actually, on a full-time Devils thing, in our latter year success, especially in those Champions Leagues, even though Scholes, he got the goal against Barcelona, Wayne Rooney had more of a part to play in those than Giggs and Scholes.
Yeah.
He just never had that buy-in with the fans. Like, You can never see him diving in the Stretford end buzzing, can you?
No.
He scores for himself, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
And I hope this doesn't come across as disrespectful, because I've got some fucking, and I think you have as well, some fucking belting memories of the guy. But I'm not sad to see him leave.
No.
I jokingly said on Twitter last night, party at my house when he goes. And I'm half joking about that. I mean, I might have sausage rolls and a pint. But, you know, it's not even, you can't even say it's time for him to go. I think it was time for him to go.
I think so much if the way he's gone, he's leaving at the right time for everyone's thing. But I just can't get Everton have made all these signings, made some good signings, and now they're getting ruined. What for? Where's he going to play? Is it to sell fucking shirts?
Raise their own club profile, possibly?
Raise the profile. I just said to an Everton fan, I put it on Twitter the other day, coming out and we're getting rude and we've got this and all that. I said, you want to sort your fucking ground out.
Oh, God, yeah.
There you go. You know what I mean? The ground is... Do you know what Liverpool... I think the Liverpool fans call it the theatre of restricted views. You know what I mean? That sums it up.
If you've not been to Goodison, where they put your away fans, it's wooden.
Yeah,
right?
And you're between posts.
The floor is like wooden, that. Right? Yeah. How is that not a fire risk? Right. Well, the seats... 2017, I think some of the seats are wooden, yeah. Never mind 2017, it's fucking 1917. That is an old ass stadium. No wonder he wanted a ground share with the Scousers.
It's not, I think he just gets a lick of paint. I think last time he got done up was for the 66 World Cup final. You know, and obviously with a Taylor report putting seats in. But if they want to go places, then to be honest, if it's not for nostalgic reasons, they shouldn't have touched Rooney. So obviously that's telling me if they're paying big dog Rooney and they've spent all this money now, that
they're selling summer.
They've got to do.
He's the sellable guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
has it already been done?
We saw this last year with Pogba. Juventus went on throwing that dough everywhere, didn't they? And they're going, no, we've got money.
Yeah.
And then they sell Pogba.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, like people complaining and flipping out over lack of transfers, I think sometimes United have to play the game with the club that they're buying a big asset off.
Yeah.
So they can say, look, if we sell Pogba to you, and then we go to Atletico Madrid for this guy, they'll be like, you just sold Pogba, we know you've got dough, lads.
Yeah.
How about you cough up some more? So I think sometimes you have to play the game and sit, you know, and they'd be like, look, you're going to get him later than you wanted him. Because the talk was that Pogba was done for 2 years, so why did it take till August to get done?
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes...
I got told Christmas, mate, it was all done and dusted Christmas.
Pogba.
Yeah.
So I mean, but it's still dragged into August,
my man at United written a letter, sealed it, put it somewhere, dated it, got people to sign it, and he opened it in front of me. It was something like the 5th or 6th of January, Paul Cobb is done to Manchester United, and it was signed by a load of people. It was stamped with a date on. And he's the one, like I said before, I texted him saying the Wolves are knocking at the door, and he's replied, and he's a little bigger flapper than me, and a lot of people on Twitter, and he went, tell the Wolves everything will be okay. So he knows something. But the thing is as well, why it's got tighter now, and all these press are shitting it, the ex-players who were letting it out are no longer at the club, you know, so it's hard for them to get out the names. And
there was more fucking leaks than a sieve under Moyes.
Oh.
Even under Fergie, actually.
Yeah,
I know that you know, and I know that you know that I know that we could find out 80% of what was going to happen in a transfer window. Definitely under Moyes, definitely under Fergie. A little bit under Van Gaal, depending on what it was.
Yeah.
I've heard not a fucking carrot about
anything.
The only one I'd heard of, and it's through you as well actually, was Mourinho was coming in
about
6 months before it happened.
Yeah.
But
that was only because the kid who I knew who was doing the story, and he told me not to say anything. And by the time he said I could say anything, he went to the bookies and he stopped taking bets. At one point, Mourinho was like fucking 30-1 to come to United.
Yeah.
It was big dough. But for my respect for this gentleman, bastard. I said I wouldn't do it, and then when he said to me, right, it's going to be released within a week, go. Obviously the bookies have got wind before Weber.
Oh, they're paying people to find out, because it's big dough in it for them.
And it's fucking gone. You won't take any money on them. But I remember going to the booking, it was like 28-1, he was like 10 favourite, and that's when he told me. And I need to speak to him as well, because he's quite up on the book. Like you say, these moles are the moles what we were listening to. And the moles have gone.
They're not fucking there.
It's a right shitter as well.
It's not there.
It's no good.
The only way you've got to find them now is the occasion through an agent. And
someone's saying something on Twitter. I don't know this gentleman. I don't know if you follow him, Steve. I'll just get his name up now. I don't follow him. A friend of mine does. He's expected to be in An agent of some of this gentleman here.
I know the name actually.
Apparently, obviously, he was tweeting something about my mate said, do I follow him? And I said no, but he was on the other week, really, he's done and dusted and he's coming. And like you're saying, it's just because throwing Amy now and you could strike lucky because of the moles, you know. But I just really hope that Woodward has got it sorted. Obviously, I watched the rugby last week. Obviously, I'm not a rugby fan, but I just watched it because it was looked quite thingy then. I didn't see the pictures of Woodward there with his fucking hat and scarf on and all that. I'm thinking, if he's not fucking sorting this out and things go wrong, that will be pulled in. And why the fuck was you at the rugby in New Zealand?
But he's not getting sacked because he is the Glazer stooge. He was the man that organised the deal for bringing them to United.
Yeah.
He's not getting sacked. He might as well be one of their sons. Yeah. So
he isn't, eh?
No.
Looks like one.
So I don't think you'll get him sacked. But yeah, I mean, he fucked up that first window under Moyes. Could put that down to inexperience. But fucking hell, he's got to. He's definitely got to improve how he does.
Well, you look at.
He did well last year, though.
David Gill. Love him or hate him. He was another Glazier. Debt is a road to ruin. But obviously he took the job, took the statement, but we got everything done early door, Steve. Under Fergie now and Gill, everything will be done now. The three or four our only players we got have been in an hotel, ready to go on tour. Now he ain't all this fucking rushing. Now surely these tour people are paying big dough. I must have been told, hey, we don't need to send any kids over. Can you remember the other year when he had to take Scholes out and send them over because they were kicking off? Scholes and they've been in the European Championship or something. And
got it was a while ago.
Yeah, and they said to him, listen, get these kid lads over now, we're paying you major.
Was that Australia?
It might have been Australia or America, but they made them fly over.
I don't remember. Yeah, I mean, I know the 18s and the 23s are off to Austria. They'll already be in Austria by the time this goes out.
Yeah.
Big year for them. Ricky Spraggy is back.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, the 23s.
Oh, is he? When did that come about?
2 weeks ago, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Excited for that, mate. Because he had a belt in the reserve team. PK, Rossi.
Same with McLeod, though. When McLeod was the reserve team manager, they put him in charge of the academy, which I think was a bit of a downgrade in a way. From winning depends the league.
It depends how much responsibility he gets on it, doesn't it?
I know, but if you win the league and then you're not running the team you've been with all year, you just overhaul everyone. But that's a great, that shocked me, I liked him, mate.
I liked him.
Save Sunderland, right?
Yeah, he went Sunderland. Did he go Sunderland straight from us?
Yeah,
because he was prior to Ollie getting a job, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And Joyce.
Has that been put in the press and all that? I wonder why I missed it. Don't buy newspapers, Steve. I get too excited.
You should follow me on Twitter, mate, because I tell you. Ricky Spraggy is back.
That's good, that. I like that. It's a good appointment, that.
I've had a look. I mean, this might be getting well carried away, like, but I've had a look where the Europa Youth League final is, because the under-18s, because of us being in the Champions League now, back in that Youth League, which I'm excited about, because that team with Angel, with Chong, with Burke out of a couple of them
with
players.
Levet, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully Dylan's going to pull it out for us, lad. Watching. The final, if they get there, is in April in Switzerland.
Oh, right.
So I've said, if they get there, I'm having that. Because we've never been to the final of that.
Yeah.
I think that's well worth. Have you seen the trophy?
No.
Looks like an upside down engagement ring. Like, it's fucking weird.
I seen that one the other day for that Federation's Cup. That was fucking bad enough. You know
so,
I mean?
I fancy that, me. That's a good away trip.
That'd be hard to get to the final. Some tracking teams. You know?
Well, we're going
to
end up with a sick draw anyway, because we're in pot two. So you're going to end up with a Juventus or a Madrid or a Munich in your group.
We're in pot two for that UEFA.
Your Champions League. So the first team's ending up with a run on as the top
we're
seed.
We're in pot two.
Yeah. So
should be in pot one, Steve.
Changed it, didn't they? So it's only champions that
yeah,
in pot
cool,
one.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, like Leicester last year.
Yeah. So yeah, they were pot one. So there's we're going to end up with a run on, and there's some run ons in pot three as well.
Yeah, we could end up with. Some run ons in pot four as well.
Yeah. So. The first team and the 19s are going to end up with some tough draws.
But Steve, at the end of the day, even if someone in pot one won't want to fucking draw us if we get it right.
If we sign four players on the level of what we signed last summer, plus Mourinho, because he impressed me in last year. Because you've got to think, what does a manager, they say a manager only adds 10 or 15%. Well, he added the whole fucking 15% in some matches last year.
It was like, you look at someone, you can go over them and you see those things on Twitter about all these draws and it did upset you, but just looking at that list there, I think probably was like one game where we were shit, probably up.
Liverpool, we got a result as a draw, but the rest of them was we didn't get a result from what we played.
Yeah. Stoke could have been 15-1.
Yeah, Burnley. Right, Chelsea beat us 4-0. They had 5 shots on target. Yeah. We had 37 shots against Burnley and didn't score. Like, how's that fucking right? So I don't think that's happening again. And you can't put out Mourinho. If you come away with a draw there, that's not a Mourinho.
No.
He's set a team up to not concede chances and to create chances. That's all a manager can do. And if they're creating the chances and they're not finishing the chances, that's on the fucking players. So the players have to look at themselves for that. And I think next year, pre-season for Pogba, I'm fucking excited for him.
Yeah, but then I see Pogba fucking running all over China with Adidas. Show your boots, son. You know what I mean? Because he's not stopped playing for probably three or four years now.
Yeah.
And then I see him running up the fucking Great Wall of China and then playing these... He should be relaxing. But
maybe that's how he relaxes. Maybe that's how he
relaxes. He's a kid, isn't he? Full of energy, like us old bastards here. But
you see Jesse Lingard yesterday? Looked like he was in Clayton.
Fucking hell.
Looked like he pulled up in Clayton for and then had a kickabout with a load of kids.
And he gets slaughtered for it.
Yeah.
It's like he got slaughtered coming into our bar. Yeah. That money, he got slaughtered.
Why? See, that's why Jesse Lingard gets fucking loved at this club. Yeah. Because you know, he ain't the best player in the world, and no one pretends he is. And I don't think he should be starting for United. And I don't think anyone's arguing with that. I don't think he'd argue with that.
No.
But you're telling me there's not a place in a squad for that player? Fucking right there is. And him and Rashford, and maybe even Pogba to an extent, and some of these younger lads coming through, that's the fucking soul of this club, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
You know, when you can pull up in fucking Clayton and go and have a kickabout with the lads,
yeah.
People talk about modern football's gone out the window and this doesn't happen. Well, do you know what? Jesse fucking Lingardinho's going doing it, innit?
Yeah.
And he's fucking going having a kickabout, making their kids summer. If you're on the 6 week old, it's not the 6 week old yet, is it? But do you know what I mean? Six week old is for them kids there, like.
Well.
Made.
Yeah, obviously he's going to. It's mad though, you know what I mean? It's like. When he put that tweet on and put the picture of me and him, and like your big head showing off, it was a bit appreciated to the fans, you know. And I'm thinking, whatever you do on social media, whether you're 100% right, someone's got something wrong to say against you, and you know what I mean. And I thought, I was getting into an argument with this kid, and I thought, oh, I can't be harsh with him, he's just jealous. You'd love to go into the bar and give put 2.5-3 grand behind the bar as appreciation. Didn't have to do it.
Well, there's 30 odd players in that squad who didn't fucking do it. The club captain didn't do it, and I don't think he's ever done anything like that.
No, sure.
So yeah, I mean, Jesse gets a lot of love for that, because that is, I mean, what binds us to watching a fucking random collection of 11 guys? Nothing, really, is there? But when you know that the likes of Lingard and Rashford have stood in the Stretford end of, you know, he went Anfield away, didn't he? In the crowd with the fans.
Yeah.
I'd fucking love it if that become a thing at United, that this club does. That the players go in there.
I've been
to
a few away games where I remember sitting in front of Rojo at Stoke. Maybe a couple of games where the players were there. And then you're thinking, fair enough, but then they're bringing the families and the mates, and those tickets are coming away from the lads.
Yeah, well, the players are getting them tickets anyway, aren't they, if they want them. So it's not... It's not a fucking major noise, I don't think. I mean, we know that United away tickets are a fucking gold dust anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
But there's always players earmarked. So I can't ever have a fucking noise about that. Cause, well, to be fair, that's how I get fucking most of my aways.
Yeah, I know. It's something like when you see Phil Jones jumping up at Anfield and he was out with a back injury thinking, I should have been at Anfield. You should have been at home resting your back.
Instead of ballooning.
Instead of ballooning, and you don't play for another 2 or 3 months. Well, the month.
I'd love it though if that every player that wasn't in the matchday squad
was
in the crowd.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Because that doesn't happen enough.
Oh.
I wish that did happen.
But don't bring your fucking family.
Yeah, just the players.
Just
like, player, you've earned
player
it.
Player one,
fucking happy days. Jobs are good. And we'll look after if you want as well. How about that? If you need a hand.
So obviously it's going to be like, obviously before this goes out, Monday, you don't know, we could have signed 1, 2. 3, nobody.
Yeah, probably nobody's
probably nobody.
The money.
But it's got to get sorted because you need to get these players settled. Don't want them coming in the last week, missing all pre-season. to tell me United fucking have out again over pennies. Get it spent if they're right. But I don't look at his fingers like Lindelof. You know, I've heard of him, to be honest. Go for the, what we need, not the name. You know what I mean? Don't go for the big world star name.
Well, I did have an issue with signing Lindelof, actually, because it was rumoured in January about him at first, that he was coming in January. Yeah. So since January, I've watched him. And I think defensively, he ain't what we need.
Right.
But he is very, very good on the ball. So what you're looking at is a taller version of Blind. Now, maybe that's what Jose wants.
Where do you stand on the left backs in that situation?
I think I want to see Luke Shaw given the opportunity to make it his on the tour. I think he's good enough to take
he,
it.
Is he fit though now?
That's the question. Took Valencia a long time to recover from his broken leg.
It did, and he's a young lad. It was a horrific break. He was over there in Eindhoven. It was terrible. At that point, we looked so balanced with Darmian on the right and Shaw on the left. We were so balanced. But then you heard him rumours, he's obviously come from Southampton, brought loads of his mates down to live with him, who were all students. You know, I'm not saying you know what a student's like, they're like a bread and a kebab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's at the right environment. And I don't think all this thing is overweight and all that, because you can't get away with it now, Steve. There's that many sports dietitians and you're eating this. Years ago you could. But now, you just can't have people, he's too fat looking, he looks up. He couldn't be playing for the biggest club in the world.
Yeah, I think he's a stocky build. I think he's got a big ass. So
same with Michael Owen.
Yeah.
And those white shorts, you know what I mean? His ass looked like this back in the side.
He tucked it in as well, which doesn't help.
Yeah.
No, I think Luke Shaw's potentially a world-class left-back.
Yeah.
And I think...
Do we need to send him out of loan with... If he's not going to... I don't want to sell him.
No, I wouldn't want to see him sold. Maybe. I mean, Demi impressed the fuck out of me against Crystal Palace.
Yes.
Yeah, for a winger. He's only played half a dozen or a dozen games at left-back in his whole life.
Yeah.
But what's one of the most dangerous things you can come up against? Wilfred Zaha. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get twisted up much more than when you play against him. Yeah. He might not be the most consistent, but I bet he's fucking hard work to keep a track of. Demi dealt with him and also helped out going forward as well. So that was a fucking top game.
What do you think about the kid we sold?
Alan.
Yeah.
I knew he wasn't signing his contract, so it wasn't a shock to me.
Obviously Mourinho must have knew that, because when you played him in that game,
we offered him one, didn't we? We offered him one, and maybe that was a sweetener for him. He's a very good player.
Now the manager who signed for Preston has now left.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Grayson, who signed him, is now Sunderland manager.
Shitter. I think he'll do very well at Preston, and I think he'll be in the Premier League in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, for us?
I don't know if it'll be for us or not. The thing is, he's 21. He's older than Marshall.
Right.
You need those first team games at that age. It's no good playing in the 23s. I've never been so sure, though, as Pogba played that fucking peach of a ball through for him.
Yeah.
He goes into the box. I've just watched him. I was sat with little Alex and lad in the wheelchair. Yeah. I sat in the disabled section with him for that last home game for the 23s, where our up scored hat-trick and Mourinho was there.
Yeah.
That's the first game under 23s I've seen Mourinho at as well, by the way. He scores hat-trick, and I was like, well, madness. As soon as he goes through after that ball from Pogba, I just had the confidence this was a goal.
Yeah.
I've never seen someone just be so sure that he's going to get it, but he's not going to force his way into United next year. I don't think he'd have been given the opportunity. So if he goes out, becomes a starter at Preston.
Yeah, but surely someone from United should be saying to him, like, listen, you played, you've done well. Sign this contract, so you're out in the year, loan for the year.
You're not in your control, are you? Because, like, Boffett Jackson got fucked about Royal last year on loan at Wolves.
Where's he gone now? He's right out of the pitch, isn't he? I liked him, Mick.
There's a lot of politics involved in what happened with him between Wolves and United, but essentially the kid got fucked. I spoke to him after that game, actually. I was chatting to him after Arup come over and give his boots to Alex, which you've got to love that. He's walking out with a match ball, he's just fucking scored that trick at Old Trafford, gives his fucking boots to Alex, top man. I spoke to Cam and I said, are you winning next year? Because I knew he's out of contract. I think he might have just, no, he signed his contract the previous year. I don't know how long he signed it for. And I said, are you here next year? And he went, and I went, do you want to be here next year, though, after what's just happened? And he went, yeah, I do, yeah. He goes, I want to get on the tour. He goes, I want to prove myself. And I said, right, fair fucking enough. Because there is a real player. They're totally different to Luke Shaw in how he is as a left back. He's more reserved.
Did all
right,
didn't
he? You know, you've got, I mean, in the picture, you've got Damian, probably the first choice if you don't fuck off to Italy, which seems likely.
Yeah.
Demi's definitely done himself no harm in that performance. But do you know what I think sometimes is, over the last few weeks, I've been learning about analysis, performance analysis and stuff like that, and the preparation that a team does before they play you. Well, they wouldn't have done any prep on Demi Mitchell. They wouldn't have done any prep on Arup or any of them lads. So that's sometimes why a player can come in and have a fucking belting game in their first game, because the opposition don't know about them. That's when it becomes harder, your second and third season,
course,
because teams know about
your second season. The only one you can say who's done it consistently is Giggs. That second season, you know what I mean? Because other players went away first season, they come on at other clubs and look the bollocks, and then probably like the likes of Owen dropped off for a bit at Liverpool, then come back again. But Giggs was the only one. I'm just saying,
better,
red,
better.
People got to know his game and they become quicker and bigger.
Ronaldo.
I just watched a video on Rashford, he's over in America, isn't it? That night camp.
Yeah.
He's put some top beef on, and I think that was his problem at first. He was only young, getting knocked off the ball. Even in that final in Stockholm, he was getting knocked off by that big lad. And obviously he looked well, so hopefully.
I hear only positive shit about Rashford.
Yeah.
That he's in the gym, he's putting the graft in, he's grabbing the under-16 keepers, and he's fucking doing free kicks, and he's doing all the shit that the Class of 92 lads did.
Yeah.
And if you get Rashford, you get Lingard. If you get Lingard, you get Pogba. If you get Pogba, you get Marshall. And then you've got a click, and that's that team spirit comes in. Mourinho will be sat there in his office fucking doing his work. If he looks out and sees them, I bet he's like...
I think it's a big year for Martial next year.
Yeah.
Massive year.
Because
looking at me, I thought he was... Obviously, the left was the option, which he got used quite a lot. But down the middle for me. But he didn't seem to get... I don't think he...
He's not going in ahead of Ibra, is he? That's the problem.
And when he come on against... Didn't he come on against Middlesbrough and equalise?
I think there's a number 9 in there, mate.
Yeah.
He reminds me a lot of...
Is he on the French squad now?
I don't know. I don't think he went this summer. Did he play this summer? He did play this summer. I don't know if he went.
He didn't play against England, did he?
I don't watch England.
No, but he played England the other week.
I don't know. I wouldn't fucking know. All I saw was on Twitter that fucking Pogba was ruining the Dyer. But yeah, I mean...
He ruined everyone that night. I did actually admit I did watch the England French game just for
Pogba. I think he ruined him.
He sent a lot of knowledge early.
There's a lot of Brazilian Ronaldo, I think, in the way Marshall runs with a ball.
Yeah.
Not got that dynamite that original Ronaldo had, but there's a lot of him in it, like that power, that power running with brilliant dribbling. I think he just needs games down the middle. I think anyone improves with games. Rashford's played 71 fucking times for us, man.
Yeah.
Blows your head off that, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? 71 signs. Remember his game?
Mitchell,
yeah, when Martial got...
Yeah, Martial goes down in the warm-up and he gets fucking chucked in. I spoke to him, that was on the Thursday, the Friday night the Academy played in the Youth Cup. Who did he play? No, it wasn't the Youth Cup, we'd already been knocked out. They had an under-18s game at Altrincham. And I seen him now with his missus, with his little fucking bird there. I went over to him and I was like, fucking hell, lad, like, first team and all that lot. I was like, was you nervous? And he goes, no. And you just believe him. I was like, I don't think he was nervous, actually.
I don't think he had time to be nervous, did he? You know, I think he might have known 2 days before we were playing all the day,
like,
and he could have got a bit
bad night's sleep, maybe.
Yeah, and then obviously bum fees pull, whatever, you're in, bang, 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 and then obviously the Arsenal game on the
fucking two more.
Unbelievable.
He played 19 times that season after making his debut at the end of Feb. Like, what?
The City game.
Yeah. Winning a Manchester derby.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to break that record, how good would it be for a bit of Rashford? Because to do that, he's going to have an hell of a career.
What you'll be on? How much he scored total goals now?
19, I think.
So he's got
234 to go. Not that I'm counting.
So yeah, he's got.
It might be 21. It's 19 or 21. It's one of those.
Well, he's got, like you say, he's got 20, 25, and now
for 10 years. Someone asked on the internet the other day, mentioned Rashford's played 71 games for United so far. Like, wow, how far is he off Giggs? Like, let me work this out. So to get to anywhere near what Giggs, I mean, it's phenomenal. When you try and actually think about what Giggs has done, Rashford needs to average 50 games a season, so that's every league game and every Champions League game, probably, if you get to the quarters or semi, or, you know, you can miss a couple, but you're going to have to play all the FA Cup. It's basically 50 games a season is a tough ask. 50 games a season for 17.8 seasons, call it 18 seasons. What? So Rashford, to get to Giggs' level, needs 50 games a season from now until he's 37. What?
Not gonna happen, is it?
What? How did he play 963 games Ryan Giggs played? How the fuck did he do that? How the fuck did he do that?
You don't know, you miss it until it's gone, do you? You know.
Well, when he passed, what was Bobby Charlton? He was 800 or something when he beat Charlton's eight. Late 80s, I think it was.
I can't remember.
Fucking what?
Was it Moscow equal it? Wiggity surpassed it there.
Was it eight? Was it eight? Fucking. I was sat there after I've done the calculations. I was like, 18 seasons, 50 games a season to beat what Giggs did, and you're like.
It's happening.
Probably isn't happening, is it?
Something happened because it means the kid's got to come into the team. At 16, 17, and stay around that first team for 20 odd years and be good enough to play. It's not happening, mate. It's not happening.
No, or to beat the record Rooney's just fucking got 25 goals a season, which is leading scorer pretty much for every season. We don't have that many that'll score 25 a season.
It's not happening, Steve. It's not happening.
Ibra just got 28.
Yeah, but.
And he was fucking vital. Missed the back end of that season, but.
I just think those two records could stay forever. He's like saying he's going to take his kid to come through, or we buy someone at a young age and he stays for 10, 15 years to beat the goal scoring record. You just can't see it, Steve.
There was a bit of talk, obviously Ronaldo is not fucking coming, don't even fucking think about it. But there was some talk of how long would it take Ronaldo if he came back to beat that record. And you're like, well,
Mormon's goals, Ronaldo's goals for United.
119, I think. So he needs 130.
He'd do it.
Odd. He would do it. Because he would need three seasons with 100 and some goals to go.
Four seasons.
Three seasons at 40, I think it might have been. No, that would have been just short. 3.5 seasons. Which he can do because he's in fucking top shape. He's in belting nicking it. Can you imagine that though? Rooney's been here since 2014. Ronaldo's been here 03 to 09.
Yeah.
Fucks off for 9 years.
Comes back
and fucking beats the record.
Oh, that would boil piss out. Boil Rooney's piss.
But I think he's got over 700 career goals now for international and what he's done at Madrid and.
Frank. Remember him signing him on.
Remember when he had no end product? 700 goals.
We'll sign him on. On the Thursday or the Friday, wasn't it? And then he'd come on a sub against Bolton.
Yeah. With the number 7 shirt.
With a little thing in his hair.
The fuck is this?
There was talk we were going to buy him and send him back on loan, weren't we? Back to Lisbon. But the rest is history, you know what I mean?
Hell of a fucking player he is. He's in the top three all time, I think, for me. Him and Messi. I don't know where they sit. I don't like getting into that argument with people. I think they're both ridiculous.
Two different players.
Yeah.
Both different players.
Ronaldo could do it at Stoke, couldn't he?
Yeah.
He could do it anywhere. He could do it in League One.
Yeah.
I like him more as a number 9 now.
I tell you what, it'd be good though, wouldn't it? It never happened. A pair of them playing together. Imagine that.
Never passed though, would you? You'd need two balls. Who the fuck do you get to play in between them?
He was like that, you know, Brian Clough. He was a cunt, him. He'd push his own teammates off the ball to score. I tell you what, he was some player as well, mate. So I've never seen him play live, but I've read his books and what people have said about him before that injury.
A new good manager from what I've heard.
But what a player. He retired when he was about 23, 24. Yeah. Only young, got a bad hand. Played for Middlesbrough. Fucking unbelievable goal scoring record. Have a look later on, his goals per game was unreal. But he's a push, his teammate was going through open it, he pushed him off the fucking ball.
Winner.
Fucking great manager as well. Winner.
Speaking of from that era, one of my favourite ones to watch, goal scorers, for a proper fucking Gary Golski, Gerd Müller. You ever see him live?
No. What was his nickname now? Can't think.
Der Bomber.
Der Bomber, that was it. He was a player.
I think he averaged like 1.17 goals a game.
He was a player.
70 odd in a season.
I was lucky.
70 odd in a season.
I was lucky enough to have a good chat with Ruud Gullit in Stockholm the night before the final, in a local restaurant, which we was both in at the same time, obviously, and we spent a good half an hour.
He was part of
good half an hour talking about the Milan team.
Well, actually, the guys on the podcast know my favourite non-United team is 89 Milan team. The last team to win prior to Madrid actually did it this year, didn't they? Back-to-back Champions Leagues, European Cups.
Costa Curta.
So it was full of eye ties, and then three Dutch.
Franco Baresi.
It was Rijkaard, Van Basten, and Hullet was the three Dutch, yeah. And everybody else was Italian. Yeah. And Sacchi as manager.
Yeah.
Ancelotti in midfield.
Yeah, Ancelotti.
Baresi, Maldini, Donadoni, Albertini.
Yeah, Maldini.
Who was the keeper? Was Zoff the keeper?
No, it was. Zoff was Juventus, wasn't it? It was.
He's a famous keeper that I'm blanking on. Hell of a team though.
But
you read about how Sacchi set them up. Boring, 1-0, but the centre forward wasn't allowed to be more than 30 yards away from the centre half, so they moved up and down the pitch like this fucking unit. But the flair was Hullet, Rijkaard and Van Basten, and the Italians was just a...
He was a man for me on that team, Franco Baresi. What a centre. He was smoking cigars in, mate. I think he played to about 41, 42, yeah. The same as Maldini played till late. And I think
they've retired the six and the three at Milan because of them two.
Yeah, that fucking Baresi was. Oh.
What was he saying about that team then?
He was just saying it was just a privilege to just play in a team like that. And he was an Irishman, but you was a superstar. He went, I wasn't. He said, that's what people thought. He said, but I was in awe of these players. You know what I mean?
He was young though. He was young at that team. Yeah. He wasn't an old bloke in that team. I bet Van Basten was the peach in that team.
But
didn't he finish young as well, Van Basten?
Yeah, I'm calling you. But he was saying the amount of respect that, like, a Baresi got and a young Maldini, you know.
They've said the number three can only go to a Maldini.
Yeah, yeah.
So his son's there, isn't he, at Milan? If he comes through, he's getting the three, but. Yeah. I think that's mint, that. I wouldn't like to see it at United, but I like what they've done with it.
Actually, he's a nice bloke as well. When Milan won the European Cup and he beat
Juve
at Old Trafford, the worst final I've ever been to. We actually got into the party up at, Christ, what's the name of the old town now where England stayed? Motomal.
Oh, yeah.
We blagged in there, me and Tommy Dunn, the famous Tommy Dunn. And I've got some cracking pictures. I think I've had them on Twitter and my phone books there. With Rivaldo. Maldini was $1 million. Sat chatting to us for like half an hour. You know what I mean? He just lifted the European Cup. I don't know if he was a captain. He might have been.
Yeah, he would have been then, yeah.
But what a bloke. And the hotel security come to kick us out. And he said we was his friends. And he didn't have to. You know what I mean? But what a lovely bloke. You know what I mean? And he spoke very good.
He's one of the
English.
Ones that Fergie says, if I could have signed anyone, Maldini would have been.
Spoke very, very good English. Unbelievable bloke. And a great football player as well. You know what I mean? And now he's playing golf. Is it tennis?
Yeah, pro tennis.
Pro tennis, yeah. Well, it's, you know. And you're saying about the number three shirt. You know deep down with being a Maldini that his son will make it. Because it's in the blood. Isn't it? You know what I mean?
Well, there's every chance, isn't it?
His dad was a good player.
Cesare.
Good player.
I don't know what his son's called. I don't know what his son's called. But yeah, his old man was player and manager, I think, at Milan.
Yeah.
Maldini. He had a gigs career, didn't he, at Milan?
I was just saying that one the other day about going on about Scholes in. Gigs and Neville just staying at our place and fucking Gerrard, one club man, and he fucks off to America. And I'll check, why's John Terry gone to Birmingham? He can't be short of a few, Bob. He's gone at the game now because he would have been playing for Chelsea last year if he wasn't. I just think he's gone at the game.
I can't wait. I don't like him anyway, but I think, and I don't rate him either, I think he'll get exposed to the Championship.
Yeah,
that's a fucking tough league, man.
I know it is.
And I think without the class of Kante in front of him and another centre half next to him, he's going to get embarrassed. And I can't wait till he has to be dropped for Villa, because I will laugh my bollocks off.
Villa used to be a big club. Well, they still are.
Won more titles than Chelsea.
and
a European Cup.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I don't know. I just think some of these players, why did they do it? Well, they can't be skinned. And they try to prove something.
I don't know.
And to be made look fools.
Giggs did it right, then Scholes did it right. finish at the top ish.
Yeah.
Well, he did, didn't he? Yeah. Well, Scholes' famous quote, Fergie's done me a favour when he retired. He retired for the second time. Fergie's done me a favour. No one cares about me.
Yeah,
no one asked about him.
Gone, wasn't he? Gone.
Fucking loves it.
Gone.
I mean, I fucking appreciate the fuck out of that mentality that Scholes has got. I think he's one of the bitterest pundits ever, but you can also see it comes from a place of love, and it comes from a place of high standard. It's because of the standards he's got, though, isn't it? Like, he thinks United should be, you know, undefeated.
He'd rather watch Dan Adam play football than watch United. Obviously, he's got his love for Salford.
I've got Stephen Howson's coming doing my podcast.
Oh, Steve's now
the centre half at Salford.
No, he's
he's gone on the year. But yeah, I mean, because I thought that's just funny, innit?
Yeah.
Get Stephen Howson to come do the Stephen Howson podcast.
Yeah.
I want a House on Five Salford shirt.
Yeah. He's a good lad, Steve. I met him quite a few times.
He did obviously well in that cup run, didn't he?
The fixtures out today. They start with Hartlepool at home, which is a tasty match. We've got FC United Boxing Day and New Year's Day. Stockport quite early on in the season. But with the signings they've made, I think obviously they've got now full time. They've lost quite a few of the players who
couldn't
commit to the
Well, they just redone the stadium, hadn't they? But they did it inside a year. I know it's not massive what they've done.
It was about, I think it's done, it'll be about 5,000. Obviously, they're going to get bigger than which the lads want.
Where's the hill gone, Webby?
Oh, the hill's gone. That's the hill now. Is an executive box.
Fuck off.
Yeah, it's an executive box. the hill has some great times on there with Gary and the lads, you know. You know, it's proper football, Steve, you know what I mean? Characters.
That's what I like watching the young lads, because there's no bullshit. They're here for the football, and that's what they're here for. I like it. I don't mind watching. I go watch Stalybridge Bridge or Drawsden.
Yeah.
I don't really want to jump on that Salford bandwagon.
I used to go and watch Drawsden quite a lot. Down in the lair in Drawsden. I used to stand in the hill at Drawsden. I used to play for him. Les Nixon, Eric Nixon's brother. City's old goalkeeper.
Ago,
yeah.
Before Dave Pace?
Well, before Dave Pace, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah,
it's from people who are watching this. Having a fucking Scooby, what we're on about here. The big googling Droylsden.
Yeah, Droylsden, the Bloods. Come on, you Bloods, at the Butcher's Arms. Fucking hell.
The Butcher's Arms gone now. The pub.
Oh, the pub gone.
The pub's gone now. Sure? Yeah. So it's still called the Butcher's Arms Ground.
Oh, so the pub's the old shelf is gone.
Yeah, but they've got the King's Head on the corner, haven't you? But there's no Butcher's Arms.
Oh, the Butcher's Arms is gone now.
Yeah. So it's still called the Butcher's Arms for no fucking reason.
A lot of pubs have gone now, Steve. It's the way of the fucking world.
I mean, a long time ago, the Butcher's Arms might have gone.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I'm probably going to come at Salford anyway, I think, at some point this season.
They're going to play United, don't they, in a few weeks?
Yeah, I'm going for that anyway. But I'm thinking about going to TNS next week. But it'll be this week by the time this comes out. The 18th or 19th? Something like that, anyway.
What are they playing?
They're in the Champions League, aren't they?
Yeah.
They play in England. They're playing near Shrewsbury or something like that, I think it's
right,
Shrewsbury.
Right, because... I went to watch Connors Key, obviously near Vicky's house. Then in Europa League.
Mad, isn't it?
Yes, fuck
you. So I'm going to go for a laugh, because I think it was like 2,500.
Yeah, see, they always win the Welsh League, though, don't they? You know, it's mad, though, isn't it? I remember some Welsh team last year, part-timers, had tweeted United who was in the Champions League. You know, fucking hell. But fair play, when you're living the dream, aren't you? You know what I mean?
So I thought, yeah, I'm going to go support them. I'll go and have a watch and see what the game's like. Champions League music in a fucking ground that holds 2,500.
Who's he playing?
Oh, fucking hell.
Don't Linfield play Celtic?
Yes, and there's a away fan ban apparently as well.
Oh, is there?
Because that might get rum.
Yeah, it will get rum.
Me and Ben are over for the Sampdoria game in Dublin. And we're there the Tuesday and the Wednesday. United play on the Wednesday. But the Tuesday, I think, is it Cork? Cork are in the draw, I think. Or it might be. It was last week or two. Anyway, I don't know if they've got through.
Right.
But there's potential for a game to be in Dublin or near Dublin on the first,
on
potentially.
The Tuesday night?
Yeah, on the Tuesday night. So it might be able to, because I think you may be coming as well.
Yeah, bit of work issues at Ups at the moment. Trying my best, but it could be very unlikely. But definitely in Oslo. That'll be a good 3 days in Oslo. Going on a Friday with Sam and Steve. Who does United We Stand outside the hotel off Twitter? Got a big boat ride on the Saturday. Sam's driving it, so No, it should be good. Good, and obviously spreading the word of the, won't say it, the
sponsors.
Sponsors, Red Army Bet. Obviously, next year we'll be up and going now, but it's good if you join up because we're offering the best odds on United. So if Pogba's 6-1 at Ladbrokes, we'll give you 8-1. You know, and it's all about.
Webby's got sponsorship, man.
So it's all about that. It's not just about football, there'll be horse racing, because everyone likes a little bet, especially you go into a match and you dreamt it the night before that Ruud van Nistelrooy's going to score 2 goals, and you're looking for a bet and the ground are offering you 2-1, and we're offering 5-1.
It is shit in the ground.
Yeah, so but, just keep on it on Twitter and just watch out for it, but it'll be good for all United fans and people who like a little bet on a Saturday. It'll be good.
All right, nice one, Webby.
Steve Topman.
Really enjoyed that. If you enjoyed that, let us know in the comments. Obviously, go and give Webby a follow at United_Webby in it on Twitter. Go give him a myver on Twitter. He's a good follow. And shit, we're in for a fucking hell of a season, I think, mate.
Oof, hopefully, I just want to get sucking. I'm not going to panic like panickers do. I just want to do it the United way. Let's put things to bed early doors like we used to do under David Gill.
Do you want to miss? Oh, what I'm hoping for. Mourinho teams. Used to steamroll teams, didn't they?
Yeah.
I want that made this year. When was the last time we proper steamrolled a couple teams? Been a long time, hasn't it?
Fucking hell.
Feels like it. Anyway. We're out of here. So thank you guys for tuning in. Please subscribe. And shit, I'm sure we'll see you over the course of the season. Later.